We continue Bezer Hashem's Baruch Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Pei Dalet Siv Vav. Hivis Chaveri, somebody frightens somebody else. Kigoyin Shetzolov Me'achrov, if he stands behind him and yells, or Shener Labayafelo, he jumps out of him in the dark. Of course, this is only if he did this deliberately to frighten him. But if it just happened that somebody walked out and somebody else got frightened, that is not considered that he did anything wrong. When we say it's chayiv b'dinei shemayim, it's not chayiv in Bezdin, because it's not considered that he actively did something to damage somebody else. It's only considered a grumma. And if it's considered a grumma, so grumma is pot medine adam, is not chayiv in Bezdin, b'chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Sevzayin ha'chayiv b'chaveroi, if somebody damages somebody else, api shenosin es ha'momen la'anechbo ma'ashin es chayiv lo'y avor chavola, even though he paid the injured party what that party is supposed to receive, became ganav a gazlan, api shechziro shomu, the same thing, a ganav who stole and paid back, mekom akum emes kapulhem, they still will not have a kapora, at shivak shum chilem es ha'nichbal o nigzel o nignav, until they ask for forgiveness from the one that they hurt, al tzar shoylehem, for the pain that they caused. But the halacha is that when they ask them for mechila, they should ask mechila, not be strict about that, because as the Mefarshim explained, that's not the Jewish way to be mean and not want to be meichel. And moreover, if we ask somebody for mechila and they are meichel us, if we are asked of Mechila and we are Michael, then when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us as well. If somebody sees somebody else suffering, and you could do something to help him, you could hire somebody to help him, you have to do whatever you can. And then you could ask for payment for what you laid out in Yeshlai. And therefore the Shaar Tshuva says that it's appropriate that every city, every community should have individuals who are always ready, willing, and able to help people in whatever need that they may have. And when somebody has to help somebody else, he shouldn't look at his covet. It's not for my covet, it's not for my stature to do this. Helping another Jew is everybody responsibility. However, one is not obligated, says the Mishnah Berurah, to put himself into a situation of sakana just to help somebody else. If the person who you try to save does not have the ability to pay you back, that should not be a reason that you should not use your own money to try to help him. If at the time you saved him, he did not have the financial means to pay you back, but later he doesn't have to pay you back. Miyakra, then he doesn't have to pay you back. If somebody is in danger and we have to help him, and it isn't just the obligation of one individual to help him, it's the obligation of everybody to try to help him. So, for example, if somebody needs medical help and the medical bills are high, everybody should try to participate to help that individual. For Nimnar, and if somebody doesn't do what he can to help somebody else, if you hear somebody is planning to do bad to someone else, trying to cause him trouble, and you don't notify him, to notify him, or you could try to perhaps pay them off, and thereby to get them not to carry out their plans. And you didn't do what you can to stop them from hurting another Jew. Anyone who helps any one Jewish person is Kila Kaim Oilem Malay. Sif Tess. Mishayis bezufim. If somebody is involved in forgeries, v'yesh lochish, and there's now a concern she'isakim b'zerabim, that he could put the community at risk for what he's doing. Dinai k'may roidif. That individual is considered like a roidif. Masrim b'shloyasa. And we have to warn him not to do this. V'meina mashgich v'ignores us. Mutal l'masr l'malchus. We're allowed to hand him over to the authorities. And to say that this person is doing this. If somebody is being accused for something that he's not involved with, he could say to the authorities, both two people were accused, but really only one of them is responsible. The one who's not doing anything wrong could say to the authorities, I'm not involved in this. Similarly, if somebody drives a car and this individual, as he's driving the car, he's driving without a license, he can't see, it's dangerous for the community. You could turn him over to the authorities. Similarly, if somebody parks the car, says the Menachas Yitzchak, in a dangerous way, he parks the car on the sidewalk where people could get hurt. He has no right to. He may be given over to the authorities. Sifyud, Nagin Sheshivat Tovair, Dorim Dini Knossos, the town community could give out fines. Whenever they see so necessary. However, they shouldn't do anything without Bezdin. There are many rules. One cannot do more than what the halacha allows. And one should always be careful with kavod habris, never to embarrass someone. If a pregnant woman is having difficulty, as long as the fetus is still in her womb, we could do whatever we need to do to the fetus. Before the fetus has been born, it's not considered a fully formed human being. And therefore, in order to save the mother, we could do what we need to do to the fetus. The fetus has the status of a roidif that we are allowed to do to the roidif whatever is necessary. However, once the fetus head has emerged, we can't touch it anymore. At that point, the fetus is not considered more significant, the mother is not considered more significant than the fetus. Of course, this does not in any way indicate that we are allowed to harm a fetus. It's only in this unique situation where the fetus is causing damage to its mother, or potentially. We now begin learning the halachas of shomrim. The first type of shomrim is a shomachinim. Shemachinim is chayiv on pshia if he's negligent. His potter and gneva aveda was stolen or lost, or oinus. However, if at the time that he took upon himself the shmira, there was a stipulation, an agreement, that he won't be responsible at all, then that becomes the terms of this arrangement. A shemachar is somebody who gets paid. He's chayiv for gneva aveda, and certainly for pshia, but he's potter for einsim. Einsim include being held up by armed robber, or if there was a fire that was beyond his control. A worker is considered like a shomer socher. A socher is somebody who rented something, and the halach is that a socher has the same din as a shomer socher. A shoyl is somebody who borrows something. A shoyl is chayiv even by einsim. And even if the shoyl is a poor person, that doesn't absolve him. If there's insurance on the object that was borrowed, machloikis, if he still has to pay, most poskim say that he still has to pay anyway. There is by a shoil one exemption, and that's Meso Machem's Melacha, that if he was working with the item, and as he was working with it in a regular fashion, it got ruined, then it's considered Meso Machem's Melacha. So if somebody borrowed an umbrella, if you use the umbrella in the normal fashion, then he's considered Meso Machem's Melacha. But if the umbrella was used in a tornado, you shouldn't be, that's not Meso Machem's Melacha. One more heter is Balam Imai. If at the time you borrowed any of the shomrim, the owner was working with you, then it's considered Balam Imai and the halachas don't apply. If somebody borrowed something for a certain amount of time, then the halacha is that the lender cannot request it back beforehand. But if he borrowed something without a certain amount of time identified, he can ask for it back at any time. If it was borrowed to do a certain job, then he doesn't have to return it until the job is done. Somebody borrows or rents animal or anything from somebody else. He has no right to lend them or to rent them if without the owner's permission. Even if what he borrowed was sfarim, mitzvah shalosam, that is a mitzvah to borrow sfarim. And imrim, we don't say mistam nichla baal shatasam mitzvah mamaynam. We don't assume that the owners are certainly satisfied that their sfarim should be used by others. Maybe they don't want their sfarim to be with some in the hands of somebody else who they don't trust. Amoto la shayil, the one that borrowed it, is allowed he can allow somebody else to learn it in his home. If somebody went and who rented something, now went and rented it to somebody else, but he rented to somebody else more than he's paying. So if he rented it with permission, he had a right to sublease what he leased, then the overage goes to the person who rented it. But if he didn't have a right to do it, which he shouldn't have done it altogether, any extra rent goes to the owner. Even if you're not allowed to rent or lend anything to anybody else without permission, but you are allowed to let your family use it, because that's understood that when I borrow or rent something, I'm going to allow my family to use it. Even if somebody's a shomer chinam, and he wants to now turn it over to a shomer sachar, which, as we said, is a higher level of responsibility, he may not do so without permission. Similarly, if the person who rented or borrowed it is not a very responsible person, and now he wants to rent or lend it to a very responsible person, he may not do so. We see that the halach is very strict about sfarim. But when it comes to talis tefillin, there's a concept of nichlei l'inish levin mitzvah moinei, and you could use somebody else's talis or tefillin without their permission. And some paiskim are lenient with sfarim nowadays. In those days, sfarim were very expensive and very hard to come by. Nowadays, there's maybe room for leniency. V'achlo yimad rak yichidi, when you're using somebody else's sefer, you should learn with it yourself. When two people are learning from the same sefer, they may tug the sefer back and forth and ruin it. But if I know that the owner of the object does trust this person, then that I may lend what I borrowed, or I may rent what I laskalai. But it's only in a case where I know he always trusts him, not if it's something that isn't on a regular basis. You have to pay a worker his salary in a timely fashion. This halacha applies whether the employee is poor or wealthy, or even if the employee is a child, for example, a babysitter. This halacha also applies by a non-Jewish person, that one should pay them in a timely fashion. It's also important that when one hires a worker, there should be clear understanding what are the terms of payment to avoid any misunderstandings. V'im ichar, And if somebody is delayed in paying in a timely fashion, over below sasa shnemeva biyoma titen schoroi v'leitovel av hashemesh. A kamayke mitzvah lost the schar behema a keli b'zman. If you rented a animal or any vehicle or anything, you should pay it on a timely fashion. The mechrayin, if you delay, over below shnem lo sashik schar oni v'evyin biyoma titen schoroi v'ezas manoi. What is the time by which you have to pay? If the job finished by day, you have all day to pay him up. And if the day passed without you paying, it should be paid before Shkia, preferably. If not before Shkia, certainly before Tzeisik Echavim. These halachas apply by rent as well. But if the job finished by night, then the time for paying is the entire night. If the night went by and you didn't pay, this applies if you have to pay him by the week, by the month, by the year. If the time of payment came by day, you can pay up all day. Yotzim malachta b'layla, if the time for payment came by night, yesh lo zman kol alayla, you could pay up at all night, v'lo yoser, and not more. But the obligation to pay only comes when the job is done, because the halacha is, schiris eina mishtalemus al b'soif. When you hire somebody for a job, your payment is only due when the job is done. And the same thing if somebody is supposed to get paid on a Friday, you have to make sure to pay him before Shabbos. If somebody has limited funds and he can use it for Onik Shabbos, or he can use it to pay off a worker, then he should still use it to pay the worker unless the worker allows him not to pay him till later. Sif Gimel, became nosan talesa liminal saknoi. You gave your garment to somebody to clean, to fix it, the kablonis, reviloi biyoim, and he returned it to you during the day. Yesh lizman kol hayoim bilvad, you have to pay him up that day. Havila b'layla, if he gave it to him by night, yesh lo yizman kol alayla b'var, he has the entire night by when to pay up. Ava kozman shatals b'yara umen, as long as the cleaner, the laundry, whatever, is still holding the talus, af b'shin nigger ava kozman lochtoy, even though the job is done, ain balabayis over, you are not violating, afilo yitzal umen kamayumim, even if it's sitting there for a couple of days, until you pay them up. A filo hadir, even if the person who did the job notified you, shivir mayis, bring what's owed to me, v'yital shalayin, take back what belongs to you, as till you pick it up, become makam ena over. Similarly, if somebody asks somebody to make something from scratch for you, there is no bal talin in such a situation. He didn't work with your object. Siftalin enover mishim bal talin v'leisovel of shemis, elm kein tava socher. Unless he asked for payment, yesh le mas litnoi, and you have the ability to pay. Avim loy tavasach, if he didn't ask for payment, asher tavay, we asked you for payment, ve'en loy mas, but you don't have the financial ability to pay, ain't a over. The pasuk says leisol itcha. Itcha means until he asks you. The paiskim suggests, even if it's not the worker himself who asks for what's owed to him, but he asks somebody act as a shliach to ask you, the same halacha would apply. If the worker can't come to pick up what's owed to him, then the halacha tells us that you should go to him to pay him what you paid him. The person who owes money for salary for a job should be most careful not to use that money. He has limited money, not to use that money for anything else, but first to pay what he owes to people who did work for him. If you owe two workers money and you don't have enough for both, the mitzvah is to divide the money and give each worker half. But if one of the workers is a poor person and the other one is not, the mitzvah is to pay up the poor person first. It's appropriate, lilvus, to borrow money, Lefroya lesochem bezmanet, to be able to pay back workers in a timely fashion. Kihu ani ve'elav hu noisei es nafshon. Voisu shdakish loy lefroya laperoin. those who don't pay workers ad la'achar cheshbon, until they make a calculation, I feel tovim mu'ud shemagilahem. Even there's a small amount that there's no argument that I owe. Become makamein amayvrim. They're not over. Kivim shadu shadakim kain. That's the way it works. You don't pay the worker until you came to a complete understanding what is owed. Vagas kain nisgru etzlon, and therefore you hire him on that basis. The halacha is that if somebody makes, one could avoid these shilas, is by making up that I don't have to pay you. If I don't pay you, I won't be over batolim. But still, the halacha is that somebody should pay in a timely fashion. And just like if we pay people properly, fairly, honestly, in a timely fashion, that's how our Kadosh Baruch Hu will pay us. As we say in Ashrei every day, V'ata nois lamas ochlam bi'itoi.